Mother, man.
You're listening to Brutal Rewind, brought to you by your friends at Murder Metal Mayhem. We take a topic we've already covered, hogtie it, put a ball gag in its mouth, and throw it headfirst into a wood chipper. What comes out is our new twist on the subject. Brutal Rewind is exclusively brought to you by Shaker's Cigar Bar in Milwaukee, the most haunted bar in the United States. Book a ghost tour at Shakers today at hangmantours.com. And now, here's your Brutal Rewind. Wow. It's been a while since I've heard the rewind sound.
Yeah,
you don't rewind
too.
Things anymore.
Yeah, nobody does that. Play that. Kids these days are like, what's that noise,
yeah,
dude?
Be kind, rewind.
Right, yeah, fucking turning videotapes back. That's a dying thing right there.
Dude, in my house, nobody would fucking rewind the shit. That was always the worst. When you got ready to watch and be like, fuck.
God damn it, now I got to rewind this shit. You're an asshole. Had the separate rewind machine from the VCR and shit.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the speedy rewind. Yeah, that's funny. Well, hell yeah, dude, doing a little Brutal Rewind on a Sunday morning. You know, it's our form of going to church, I guess.
I guess so.
Hanging out here in Horns High Studio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It's a holy grail out here.
It is, man. It is. And, of course, this is, as the intro correctly points out, exclusively brought to you by Shaker's Cigar Bar in Milwaukee, Chris. That's one of our favorite spots.
Love that place. Yeah. Talk about it a lot because it's amazingly awesome.
It is. It is. So you can go to hangmantours.com to book your own ghost tour at Shakers if that's your thing. And if it's not, you can go to shakerscigarbar.com and just check out the menu and the drinks. And man, if you're ever up in Milwaukee, we've, like Chris said, we talk about it a lot, but it's just a really cool spot.
Because we enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, and Bob is just a really cool guy. The whole staff there is really amazing. Yeah. So, well, this time we're doing episode number 4 on the Brutal Rewinds with an update to a previous episode, which was our second podcast, Chris. Seems like forever ago.
It does. Sometimes it seems forever ago. Sometimes it doesn't seem that long ago.
True.
It's kind of weird.
It is weird.
Sometimes I'm like, man, we haven't been doing that very long. And other times straight up like, it's been a long time.
It has. And that one was called Woodchipper Love, which was, of course, about Richard Crafts, the guy that we're talking about tonight. And you had brought up a funny irony with the intro.
Right, yeah, the way you talked about throwing the whole thing in the wood chipper, and I thought it was funny because we are doing Richard Crafts
as
a
Brutal
Rewind, and we all know he threw his wife through a damn wood fucking chipper.
That's right. Yeah, that is funny. It didn't even dawn on me as we were listening to that, so that's funny that you brought that up.
Fucking,
and we got a little bit of an update about this, the wood chipper guy, Chris.
A little bit. Yeah, definite update.
Yeah, I mean, the Brutal Rewinds, you know, we thought up the idea just in case some news came out about somebody we'd already talked about, and this is one that we, of course, did. I got an actual text from CK, I think it was CK, with the link or a screenshot of the newspaper headline that he was out.
That he got released.
And that was like, whoa, so a very interesting one. Now, if you guys remember that, or not remember it, you know, get a little update here and put you up to speed. 1986, Richard Crafts kills his wife, Hella, froze her body before disposing of it in a rented wood chipper in Newtown, Connecticut.
And you got to freeze them first. Otherwise, it's sloppy.
That's right. Pretty clever. But Newtown, Connecticut, it's interesting. Most people know of the town Newtown when they think of the Sandy Hook incident. But Newtown was the town next to where I spent a lot of my childhood in Bethel. They were like our rivals in sports.
School sports rival.
Yeah. Now, I would have been going, at the time of this happened, I would have been going to Western Connecticut State University. I only went there for about a year and a half, but that would have been right here. I was living on my own in Danbury, which is only a few blocks from where CK lives on Wildman.
Nice.
I was on Patriot Manor, so it was not Patriot Drive. Not on Wildman Street.
Not on Wildman
I was a Patriot,
Street.
But not a Wildman. So.
Patriotically wild.
Now, Richard and Hella had kids. Now, the name Hella, if you're thinking like, does he mean like Hella bad? Or no, no, I'm not talking about Hella. That. It's with an E at the end, but she is Danish. Yeah. So in case you wondered. They had kids, but they weren't home, thankfully, when this was going on. He puts the body in the freezer in the garage, leaves it there for a while to, like you said, get it all frozen.
Curious how long it takes to fully freeze a human body.
I wonder,
like,
too.
Like, is it just like in a normal deep freeze that you'd have in your house? Like, I would, curious how long it would take.
I would think at least a few days. Yeah, I mean, at least. But I don't know.
That's a lot.
That'd be something I mean, to Google, right?
She was kind of a, yeah, how long does it take to freeze a yeah. full body? I mean, it wasn't that. She was a
cops
very,
beating on your door like 5 minutes later.
I mean, she wasn't a very big woman at all.
True.
So, I mean.
True.
But yeah,
but still, that'd be interesting to find out.
All right. I'm curious.
Now, we're not asking anybody here to do that. All right. So just
one of those things that pops into my head.
Things
like,
that
huh.
make you go, So he does this for several days. He rents the wood chipper. And like we talked about in the episode, I was talking about that guy that came into that restaurant
with
I worked
shirts.
At with the T-shirts. It said Divorce Connecticut Style. With a guy with his arm around a wood chipper. I am so pissed I didn't buy one of those.
Buy one, fucking right.
I was like, because when he came in and he was selling them, it was like, oh, that's funny, you know, but I don't know.
No, in hindsight, it's like, son of a bitch, I wish I had
like,
that
motherfucker,
shit.
Really? I've gone on eBay a few different times and I've never seen them on there. So if anybody's got one of those, I don't care what size it is, I want it. So let me know.
Right, just even as an artifact,
one,
yeah.
Just as I said, we'd put it up here for sure. Maybe we'd put it on CK, you know.
Yeah.
Although his wife might get mad.
She probably wouldn't like that at all.
Chris, I mean, how awesome would it be, though, to score one of those shirts? Yeah.
I'm going to keep searching because it would be fucking awesome to find one, man.
Yeah, and the other thing we could do, which I'm sure we could probably get him to do it, we could probably have Joey work something up and
make
then Jason could
Jason
probably
make it,
a
yeah.
few. I thought that would be the next best thing because I kind of remember what they look
right.
like. But I would obviously rather have a real one.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Now, with these brutal rewinds, you know, we look at these cases. You know, the first one we did was the Carla Faye Tucker one. That would have been the one I did without you.
Without me. I was on special assignment.
Special assignment, air quotes. Tex joined in on that one because he was a prison guard at the time in Texas. That
was
very
was
interesting.
In, yeah.
The second one we did on your favorite topic, King Diamond, and that was because his bass player, Tim Hansen,
had just passed.
It was really sad. CK and I thought it would be cool to do that. And then the last one we did, of course, on Mr. Henry Lee Lucas.
Drifter Killer. We're talking about the Confessions Killers on fucking Netflix, the documentary.
That's some
on
fucked
there.
Up shit about how they kind of, you know, they were all in on the bullshit.
And they were
let
super lenient on him as like letting him get away.
Strawberry milkshakes and
Pall Malls, baby. Fuck yeah.
He would tell them anything they wanted for strawberry milkshakes and Pall Mall cigarettes.
That's a weird combination.
It is, dude. It is. But that was cool. We talked about Henry Lee. So since Richard Crafts is probably not one of the well-known ones, if you live outside the CT, the Connecticut, New York, or New Jersey tri-state area, you know, we thought, you know, would be good to just kind of bring people up to speed. And as I mentioned, I grew up in the town next to it. I was born in the Bronx. I moved to Bethel when I was young, right next to Newtown. And when that Sandy Hook incident happened, I was just like, holy shit. I mean, I was only, you know, 5-10 minutes from my house. So that really hit home. And then a buddy of mine, his sister was, I don't know if she still is currently, a fireman with the firefighter with the Sandy Hook Department. And she was at the fire station when they brought all the parents there to wait for word of
what's going on.
Could you even imagine having to fucking be around that?
Dude.
Horrible.
Fuck.
I actually reached out to her about that when I heard just to say like, oh my gosh, you know, and she never responded. So I don't know if she just doesn't want to talk about it. I've never pursued it.
I mean, that's something I could understand somebody not wanting to talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, very understandable.
Now, another thing I have in common with this case, and we talked about this in the episode we did back in the beginning, Diane Anderson, my mom worked for her. She was the divorce attorney that Hella Crafts went to right before all that happened. And she told them that if she had turned up missing or wasn't at an appointment, that it was her husband that killed her, which my mom said wasn't a terribly uncommon thing to hear, which is awful.
I'm sure a lot of rough divorces, people are going to say
women are really afraid, you know.
Right, yeah.
So she said it wasn't that uncommon to have that point made, but it was the first time when my mom worked there that actually, like, it happened, you know, like where somebody didn't show up for an appointment, they called the police, and then bam. So, you know, this was dinner time conversation at my house between
great dinner time conversation
and my dad being a parole officer and all the crazy shit that that he had to deal with at the prison. So, you know, I had some my true crime indoctrination started pretty young.
As a kid sitting around,
just hearing about these fascinating cases. Because the Richard Crafts thing, you know, I mean, that's pretty over the top.
Yeah, it is.
And it's right there and next to the town you live in. Now, the reason why we did this one as the second episode, because our first episode, of course.
Yeah, it was Richard Hendricks.
David Hendricks.
Why don't I always say Richard? I do that a lot.
David Hendricks. David Hendricks, from Bloomington, Illinois, which is where we are. And that's a local case. He was accused of murdering his family with an axe. And we did that story. He was acquitted. We did that one as our first episode. Then we thought
hometown where we live.
Yeah. And so we thought, well, we'll do a hometown one where I'm from and as the second one. So we pick Richard Crafts. And we know also most of you guys are familiar with the movie Fargo, which has had that wood chipper scene
in there.
So and the guys that made Fargo said, yeah, that's where we heard about this.
That's where we got the idea. So
that's right. So it's
inspiring
the inspiration.
Movies.
Yes. Now, another interesting thing about the Crafts case is that the man who headed the state of Connecticut forensic work on the case was the very famous Dr. Henry Lee, who was made famous during OJ.
Okay, yep.
And we hear his name a lot, not so much now. He's probably retired. But, you know, he worked for a long time on a lot of high-profile cases, consulted a lot, and that sort of thing.
No, it was Dr. Lee when they found the chainsaw in the fucking lake or whatever.
Yeah.
That was able to recover the serial number that
correct.
It scraped off. That was him that was able to
recover it. That was him.
I mean,
pretty amazing.
That is
shit.
Pretty awesome. You grind a serial number off and dudes like
it could still
especially
get it.
Back in the 80s and shit too, because I mean technology wasn't like it is today. So yeah, that's pretty awesome being able to find the serial number like
oh,
that.
Oh yeah, yeah. And at the University of New Haven, there's a Dr. Henry Lee criminal forensics department. That's where my daughter's got her master's from. So Henry Lee is very well known in those circles. So he was, you know, the first one, and this case was the first one in Connecticut to get a conviction without a body. So pretty interesting stuff. All they found of Hella at the bank of that river where he set up the wood chipper was some hair and some fingernails.
Piece of like bathrobe or something.
Yeah, and they found in her pocket of her bathrobe the mail, and it had their name and address on it. So bam, how that survived the wood chipper is amazing.
Right.
They were also able to, Henry Lee was able to match the nail polish on the nails with the nail polish from the house
and confirm
and said
it was
the
match,
same
yeah.
stuff. So you know, all these things, they could certainly prove that it was her body that went through that wood chipper, but unfortunately there wasn't enough of her left to be able to forensically prove it was her. But very, very fascinating. There's a forensic files on this, too, that I watched not that long ago when Jenny and I were watching the whole series, and it was kind of cool to see it. But, of course, knew all about it. But just interesting stuff nonetheless.
Still nice fucking sometimes go back and watch some of that
stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Catch a different thing that you didn't see before.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the one on John List was fantastic.
Right.
I mean, that was a really good one. Now, Chris, remember how ridiculous it was that he was doing the wood chipper in the middle of a snowstorm?
Fucking bright orange fucking jacket on, like...
2 in the morning,
on
dude.
The, just on the side of the fucking road, dude. Like,
so that snowplow driver's driver. Like, what the fuck is that going, all about?
Yeah, what the fuck is going on over here, dude? I don't want to even be out in this shit. And right. this dude's out here with a wood chipper.
Right.
What the fuck
looks
is happening?
Looks a little strange. So making, he calls
maybe
the cops.
Just like taking chunks of ice off the lake, making chipped ice for his beverages.
I guess. Thirsty at 2 a.m.
Yeah, fuck.
So on top of that, like you said, they found the chainsaw in the water with the serial number ground off, but Lee was able to figure out how to make it visible and prove that Crafts owned it and that he registered it when he bought the chainsaw. So
I didn't know you registered chainsaw. I mean, maybe for like a warranty or something.
That's
like
probably
that.
What it was, yeah. But, you know, you think, dude, would you have thrown it in the water right there?
Yeah,
like,
right
in
the
spot. You could have drove 20 feet away and thrown it.
Yeah.
You probably wouldn't have found it, you know?
Could have just fucking, yeah, like you said, 20 feet, freaking go like 20 miles, throw it somewhere
else. For
sure. Dude, fuck.
And, yeah, if we would talked about this, I remember on the episode, if he would have done this in the middle of the day, like 20 miles somewhere else.
Right.
Nobody would have ever thought probably twice about somebody using a wood chipper.
No.
Out in the country by a lake.
Right,
whatever,
no big deal.
You know?
Fucking, but no, 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a goddamn snowstorm.
Right,
Jesus.
Exactly. So he winds up, you know, they have his ass dead to rights. Then there was also credit card receipts that linked him to
the rental.
Rental
of the wood chipper, yep.
Yeah, so they got this fucker dead to rights. And he gets the max, Chris, which at the time in Connecticut, which I find amazing, was 50 years. It doesn't seem like enough time.
It's like
for
the brutalness
shit like that.
To it. I definitely think he deserved more time than that. And we're here because he didn't even do the whole fucking
thing. That's right. Now, as crazy as it seems from what we've just told you about all this fucking crazy shit this guy did, Richard Crafts is released from prison in January of 2020. So I think that is what started all this pandemic and just insanity of this year.
They let Richard Crafts out of fucking prison.
Right. Hell freezes over. Richard Crafts gets out.
Fucking done with. Thanks, fucking Connecticut.
Thanks, dude. Thanks. He's 82 years old now, so I don't think he's going to like cause any problems, but still should have left his fucking sorry ass in prison. He's released to a halfway house in Bridgeport, Connecticut, which is a pretty good-sized city, about the size of Peoria.
Right.
And very similar to Peoria, there's some rough areas, you know, pretty you know, working class, tough town. I've got some friends that are from there. If he was sentenced today, though, he would not be getting out early like this.
Fuck no, you're stuck here until you're dead, dude.
Yeah, at the time, 50 years was the most he could get. But due to incentives for good behavior, he was a good prisoner, you know, model prisoner on the inside, and also the jobs that he held, he manages to get out just doing over barely 30 years. So that's a long time, but it's not
like
enough
said,
for
not,
this.
Not enough.
You know? What they call that is statutory good time is no longer a thing in Connecticut, but because it was law at the time of his sentencing,
they have to stand with it because they can't just be like, oh, our laws have changed.
Right.
They got to change for you.
Right.
They got to stick with what he got sentenced to.
Exactly. So now the first trial ended in a mistrial. I had forgot about that. So he's convicted on the second trial. So all that time he was in, he gets credit for all that. And that all adds up to how he gets out so early.
Right.
I read in an article in the Hartford Current newspaper that he was moved to the from the halfway transitional housing in Bridgeport to a homeless shelter for veterans.
Now,
I don't
remember. Was he he wasn't a veteran, was he?
I think he was.
Was he? I couldn't remember.
I'm
that.
I'm pretty sure
he
that he
not.
Was. I did not look. I should have, but
yeah,
I did not.
Too, but I didn't. But yeah.
But I don't know why he would be put in a homeless shelter unless maybe because, you know, after a certain period of time, I mean, you're on your own. I mean, you're
right.
Paroled, but it's not like they got to like take care of you.
No, yeah, like you said, he's on his own. Like we got
this
whole transitional phase going between inmate to life outside and shit.
Yeah, so maybe the halfway house was like on them for a period of time, and then after that, it's like, okay, you're on your own, and he's 82.
Yeah, he's old fucking
So I don't
man.
Know what the fuck he's doing for like income, so he's probably on like state aid, Social Security, whatever aid he could possibly get, which would still probably warrant him living in a fucking homeless shelter in the state of Connecticut, where it's so fucking expensive. I mean, in the 80s, I lived in an efficiency apartment for $650 a month in the fucking 80s. That's yeah. why I moved out here and moved into a two-bedroom apartment for $330.
Right, comparatively.
I was paying half of what I was paying in Connecticut for an efficiency apartment, moved to a two-bedroom in Normal for half of what I was paying. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it. So I could see, as expensive it is to live there, how right. he would have to live in some sort of shelter. So.
And I did see that they expected him full release of custody, from DOC custody in June, like just recently.
Oh wow!
I didn't see, I was on the way out here looking at trying to find, but okay. I did see an article where he was expected full release from custody.
Interesting. So in maybe June, that's so. What made him go to the homeless right, shelters. Right. He's totally on his own from June, so that makes yeah. sense then. So you know, this is why a lot of these ex-cons go back to prison, because they don't have a way to support themselves. It's hard to find a job as a felon.
Oh yeah.
So sure. you know, a lot of them are doing construction and doing stuff like that.
Well, this dude,
you know,
ain't doing 82 year yeah. old guy ain't doing nothing
right
like that.
So I don't know what the hell he would really do for an income. So you know, again, I'm not saying that it's right or it's wrong. Well, it is wrong to be committing crimes and going back to prison, but that's why a lot of them do it, is because they just
can't
don't know the
outside
way.
Life. It's like, I got to yeah. go back home.
Yeah.
Just like,
I mean,
Shawshank Redemption.
Well, sure.
Homeboy, when he hung himself, because he couldn't handle it, like, done.
That's right.
Can't do it.
I know in the Army, when I got out, I was only in for 3 of the 4 years I enlisted for, but it was a part you had to go through it, no matter whether you were in for a year or 20, where it was like a... They would teach you like how to job interview,
right.
how to write a resume, like to out process so you could reacclimate yourself to the civilian world.
Life, right.
I'm sure nowadays they probably do more of that kind of stuff in prison, but I don't know about, you know, with him. I don't really know. But maybe they don't. Maybe they just one day you're handed your civilian clothes and they say,
just
get
out. Yeah, fucking.
I don't know if there's some sort of transition on that or not. But, you know, it's crazy to think of a guy that put his wife through a wood chipper, does 30 years
and he's
out.
Done. Yeah. Like,
so,
and I haven't even, I looked around, I couldn't see anything about his kids or anything. Like if they had anything to say about him getting out in 30 years or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't either. I've never seen anything about the children. I do know the wife, you know, or the housekeeper, she
right.
was obviously traumatized by the whole thing. I think she moved somewhere away. There were, you know, a lot of people affected by this. Her family was fucking outraged, obviously, you know, because he was claiming that she was there visiting them, which in Denmark, ooh. Which is where he would tell people she was when they were looking for her. So he was burnt every bridge possible.
Doesn't make no sense either. Why would you say that she's visiting her family when they could check with her family?
No, I think he was telling people here.
No, that's what I'm saying.
That she was, oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. What you'd think they? I mean, I know it was age, but you'd still think they'd be able to fucking reach and say, hey, is
right.
hello over there?
Right.
She's
we haven't heard
here.
From her. Yeah.
It's not like her.
To fucking. Leave her kids, you know. Yeah. It definitely was not a well thought out plan yeah. all the way down to the fluorescent vest on the side. on the side
smart.
Of the highway. So yeah, pretty fucking crazy. But anything, Chris, you want to mention or add to this case?
Not really. I mean, I just think it's kind of crazy that he got out, like said, out in just over 30 years.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's 82. What's...
I know. Not a whole lot of life left, I would think.
I can't imagine he's going to be around too much longer, but
right.
I just... thought of we thought it'd be good to go back and let
yeah.
people know, hey, this guy is out of prison right now. I'm,
yeah,
don't know where, but
yeah, and go back and listen. That would be episode 2, so it's going to sound a lot different
way
than they
different.
Do now. But go back and listen to episode 2, Wood Chipper Love. I think the total listens I looked yesterday was like 3,600 total listens that
yeah.
episode's got, and that's our number 2 most listened to. The number 1 is our number 1. David Hendricks, and that's at like 5,400 listens, so
oh, yeah.
considerably more. The undisputed leader of the pack, episode number 1. So,
fuck yeah.
But I did see the Gacy episode is now number 4, tied with the Chikatilo episode.
Nice.
So those two are tied.
Well, those two were both fucking freaks too.
Yeah, without a doubt. And the Benoit episode is number three, I think.
Right.
So pretty crazy stuff. So an interesting thing I wanted to add happened to me about a year ago. It's always funny, you know, Chris, we talk about this. We've talked about it with when we did the Tommy Karate episode and how that was oddly reaching to us after the fact.
After the fact, yeah. This was one that was weird.
This was cool. That was not cool.
Yeah, that one was just like, wait a minute,
a little unnerving. This one was not a bad thing. It was a good thing. I got a Facebook message from a woman who said that she was the daughter of Diane Anderson. That's the attorney that represented Hella, as I mentioned. That's the one my mom worked for.
Fuck yeah.
The woman heard our podcast as she was searching for podcasts about Richard Kraft. So I thought that was very interesting. So she stumbles on us. I don't know how many of them there are, but she found us. And she listened and, of course, recognized the last name.
Oh, nice.
Also heard me talk about my mom working for her mother.
Right.
And she would have been young at the time, but not too young to not remember. Diane's been gone now for a few years, but I thought that was really cool. But she reached out to just say, you guys did a really good job with that, which
was
kind of odd because we were like mocking and, you know, doing our thing.
But still, I mean, it's still information though.
Sure.
So
I guess I always think of people like the whole, we joke around with the Beavis and Butthead stuff.
And but the fact it was our second podcast, too. So like we're pretty
new to it and trying to find our feet, you know, and figure it all out. And then that was, of course, when we were doing this up in the bedroom and I was not facing you.
Yeah, we weren't even looking at each other.
Because the way we had to set up the microphones, I had to be looking at the computer. It was really weird. It's come a long way since then.
Now we got so much room for activities.
That's right. And, of course, all sorts of cool shit all over the walls. It's our spot. But back then it was not. So, yeah, go back and check that out, second podcast. So it definitely was a brutal rewind.
Yes,
we do them different, you know, than we do the other episodes. We don't do Metal and Mayhem. We just kind of keep it short and sweet. A little 30 minutes, which is about where we are.
Like, yeah.
Look back at a topic we've covered. So if there's any topics we've done that you guys know of something new or
want to
add, like you're from the area and you read a story about, let's just say, something that happened, we'd love to hear about it. So get a hold of us either through Facebook or email me at Pete@murdermetalmayhem.com and let me know what's going on, because we're always looking for things to talk about. So
we need fillers, man.
That's right. Now these
really.
The Brutal Rewinds are brought to you exclusively, as we said, by Shaker Cigar Bar in Milwaukee. The Jeffrey Dahmer Cream City Cannibal tours are amazing. So go to hangmantours.com. You can do that. Such a great place, Chris.
I mean, just awesome, like I said, man. Just a great place to hang out and good people. And like we said before, the first Thursday of every month.
Oh, yeah. Dead Man's Carnival.
Dead Man's Carnival's there. And it's great. Just a great show watching them jam, dude.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like swing music, and you're in this old Prohibition era bar.
Al Capone's bar, man.
Pretty fucking cool.
Pretty sweet.
Pretty cool environment. And it's in a nice area of Milwaukee, so you could park your car. There's free parking.
Right.
You park your car, walk right in. It's nice.
Sometimes you park, you get a parking ticket, and because the city fucked up and they drop it.
Like, that's right. Dicks. That's right. Yeah, that last time we were up there, I had to make a few phone calls, but we got it taken care of. So thanks for listening to another Brutal Rewind. You
fuck
can check
guys.
Out.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah is right. Go to murdermetalmayhem.com to hear all the shows and like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and support the show. So we appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir. Fuck yeah, man.
So patreon.com/murdermetalmayhem is how you can do that. $3 a month. Join that 666 club. So
exclusive content. You get this right. This is for the Patreon. So yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, horns high, and we'll see you guys soon.
Mother, man.